You're listening to All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Shamita Basu. The 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising is next week, and many people in the LGBTQ community are assessing where the current civil rights movement is and how far it still has to go. Kathy Tu and Tobin Lowe of WNYC's podcast Nancy hear a lot from their listeners about what's affecting them these days, and they're here with me now in the studio. Hi to you both.
Hello.
Hi.
So the big battles used to be over marriage and the military, but now there's a whole new set of issues. And one of the topics you've been exploring a lot on your podcast is workplace protections, which I understand the Supreme Court will be hearing next term, right?
Yeah, so we actually did a whole series called Out at Work, where we explored where our protections currently are. And as you said, the Supreme Court has taken up this question of whether Title IX of the Civil Rights Act should be interpreted to include protections based on sexual orientation and gender. It's this huge question that they are now going to decide. And interestingly, one of the three cases that they've taken up originated in New York. It's called Zarda v. Altitude Express. And in that case, the Second Circuit, which covers New York, decided that, yes, these protections should be interpreted to include gender and sexuality, which was a huge win. But now the Supreme Court is going to answer this sort of for the country.
Right. And that case is going to have impacts across the nation. What have you been hearing from some members of the LGBTQ community about their own experiences in the workplace?
Well, so there's a range of people deciding how much that they're out in their workplace. Job insecurity, we've heard, plays a huge role in like how people feel like they can be recognized as like full citizens. When you're spending most of your day or part of your day even thinking about whether your coworkers, your boss, wherever it is that you work, whether or not they will accept you as like a full, complete human, that can be exhausting. So one of the people that we talked to, Josiah, he's trans, he talked to us about trying to find a job that would be supportive of his gender identity.
I kind of fulfilled my duties as an American person. You know, you go to school for 13 years, you get that high school diploma, and then you go to college for 4, and then you're expected to go and you get a great job and you'll be able to live great, except for the fact that I'm trans. So society kind of says we don't count.
People are also very concerned about issues of healthcare, especially for transgender people, right? I mean, what are they facing?
Right. So this was recently in the news because the Trump administration has said that they want to bulk up the conscious rule, which would allow healthcare workers to deny certain services based on religious or moral grounds. There's a lot of fears for what that could mean for LGBTQ patients. We've also talked a lot on our show about how currently, especially if you're a transgender patient, finding inclusive healthcare can be really difficult. One of the few clinics that does offer that is actually here in New York City. But if there are a few clinics offering that, and you have to travel for your healthcare, that's all kinds of extra costs. And this is something we heard from Harper Jean Tobin from the National Center for Transgender Equality.
Trans people often have to travel an hour or more just to find a doctor they can see. That's a real hurdle if you live in a rural area. And more trouble finding a provider means you're even more likely to face high out-of-network costs or deductibles.
Another healthcare issue that often comes up for LGBTQ couples has to do with starting a family and surrogacy. What have your listeners told you about that?
Well, a couple of things. The first one is that it's expensive. You know, there are the costs that you know about, the reproductive costs, going to clinics and that sort of thing. But there's also hidden costs that you might not have thought about, like legal costs, figuring out like second parent adoption, hiring a lawyer to figure out the laws that may not actually be settled yet, state by state.
So now that it's been 50 years since Stonewall, what is at the top of the civil rights list for members of the LGBTQ community?
Well, we can't speak for the entire community, but I would say that providing resources to the people who are most vulnerable in our community should continue to be one of our top priorities. And that in this day means trans women of color, because trans women of color often they are subject to racism, misogyny, discrimination, poverty, violence. The list goes on and on.
So there's a big agenda here, but Pride is also very much about celebration, right? How are people right now balancing those two things, this desire to celebrate how far we've all come, but also recognize how much is still left to be done.
Right. And I think this is a conflict that a lot of, I know Kathy and I feel it, and also a lot of LGBTQ folks feel, is that, you know, it's Pride Month and you want to feel, you know, how far we have come and celebrate that. And you absolutely should. We've also talked to a lot of people who, you know, really want to remind us that celebration and keeping your eye on where we still have to go are sort of two separate things in a lot of ways. In our upcoming episode commemorating Stonewall, we talked to a historian, we talked to somebody who was at Stonewall, we talked to an activist who is very much doing stuff right now, and they were all sort of echoing this idea of that we have to be activists, emphasis on the verb, doing things right now. And this is something that we heard from Raquel Willis, who is the executive editor of Out.
I'm not critiquing the fact that we should be able to celebrate who we are and have a party. But that also means that we can have a real conversation about what that celebration looks like and how that celebration isn't the same as acknowledging and honoring what happened at Stonewall Inn in 1969.
Hearing Raquel say that, it reminds me of the thing we talk a lot about on our show, which is that when we tell the stories of the LGBTQ community, you know, a lot of times people will focus on either 100% the hardship or 100% the fabulousness and being joyful. And the reality of the experience is somewhere in the middle, right? Like, you feel all of the things. You feel the joy. You feel the things that you don't have that you want, or the rights that you don't have that you want. And so hearing Raquel talk about that, I'm reminded of, you know, we have multitudes, we have come a long way, and we have a long way to go.
Tobin Lowe and Kathy Tu are co-hosts of WNYC's podcast, Nancy, which covers everything LGBTQ. Both of you, happy Pride Month. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
And tonight, WNYC host Kai Wright wants to hear your LGBTQ stories. It's part of a 3-night live radio special celebrating civil rights after Stonewall. Tune in at 8 p.m. and call in with your experiences.